This evening, you can turn back, if you like, to the scripture that Brother William read in the book of Mark. I have a question this evening. How many rules do y'all have at your house? How many rules are there? You know, children have a lot of rules, don't you? Yep. From the time you get up, if you're a little child, it starts with, don't you get out of bed until such and such a time. That's a rule with most little kids in their home. When the kids get a little bigger, it's get out of that bed now. You're going to be late for school. From the time you get up until you go to bed. For the little ones, when you go to bed, it's your bedtime. Get in that bed and don't get up. That's a rule in most houses. When you get a little bigger, it's turn out the lights now or you'll fall asleep in school tomorrow. And everything in between. Eat your dinner. Brush your teeth. Pick up your clothes. Make your bed. Pick up those toys. Turn off the lights. Do your homework. Answer me when I call you. Look at me when I'm talking to you. We got all these rules, don't we? I wish you could see the children right now. They understand what we're saying. Now, what happens if we break the rules? There's always a thing called consequences. And consequences are not good things. Consequences are what happen when you break the rules. If we break a rule, something bad happens. If we're a rule breaker, don't expect good things. If we disobey, something bad is going to happen. The rules I gave examples of, you know, usually the bad thing that happens is that we get a lecture. That means we get a talking to if we break one of those rules. But then there are the more serious rules, which result in a whole lot worse consequences. Really bad things happen when we break these rules. We best not break the rule that says, don't talk back to your parents. We're going to get a spanking. We're going to get grounded, or maybe both. And heaven help us if we hit somebody. Whether we hit them with a, just push them hard or hit them, or if we hit them with the tongue. You know what hitting with the tongue is? That's calling somebody a bad name. I'll never forget the first time that happened with one of my children. You know what they said? They looked at somebody and said, you bozo! And you would have thought they called them the worst thing in the world. Because to them, they were striking out. And when we do those kind of things, we can expect a bad consequences. We know it, and yet we still do it, don't we? We still do it. We do it anyway. Why is that? We're going to answer that question in just a minute, but let me ask you another one first. How many rules are there in the Bible? You ever think about that? Where did this thing of having rules and breaking them all begin? The answer to that's in the Bible too. Do we realize that who made the very first rule? God did. God made the first rule. Many, if not most folks, they think there's only 10 rules in the Bible. Do you know there's hundreds, if not thousands, of rules in the Bible? I opened my Bible to the book of Deuteronomy. On one page, half a page actually, these are the rules I found. Not ever to wear linen and woolen garments together. Not to ever sow two different kinds of seed in a vineyard. Not to plow with an oxen and a donkey together. You can put two oxen or two donkeys, but never an oxen and a donkey. You know that's a rule in the Bible? It's a commandment. on the same page was this one. The woman shall not wear that which pertaineth unto a man. Neither a man put on a woman's garment. For all that do so are an abomination unto the Lord. I don't think I'd ever read that rule. That's pretty serious, isn't it? There's so many rules. Why are there so many rules? Well, when you make one rule, you know what happens? Somebody's going to break it. And when they do, now you got to have more rules. And let me illustrate that to you. We start with one rule. You're told, keep your room straight. A lot of houses got that rule. But how good are we at it? Pretty soon we're not doing it the way we're supposed to. So now we got to have new rules which say, I mean by keeping your room straight, you make up your bed and don't leave your clothes laying around. Well, we can't or won't do that. So we got to now have more rules which says, hang up and the clean clothes and put the dirty ones in the hamper. Do you see how this just keeps going? Because we won't keep the rules, it means there's no end to the rules. Turn with me now to Matthew 22. Matthew 22. This is an account that is recorded in the Bible. No man or woman has ever been able to keep the thousands of rules in the Bible. So God told Moses, make 10 rules. Just give them 10. And how did that go? Nobody's been able to keep the thousands of rules or even the 10 rules. So this clever religious lawyer came to our Lord, and look what happened, what's recorded here, what he asked the Lord to do in Matthew 22, verse 34. When the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked the Lord Jesus Christ a question, tempting him and saying this, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? You see, he didn't want thousands of rules. He didn't want 10 rules. He just wanted one. And he thought he tricked the Lord this way. Look what our Lord answered him in verse 37. Jesus said to him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. So our Lord reduced it down to just two rules. And do you know what? We can't even keep the two. What's wrong with us? What's wrong with us that we can't keep the rules? Why do we want to break them all the time? The answer to that question is found in the Bible. If you'll turn to Genesis, I'll show you the answer. Genesis chapter 2. We all know that in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and then he made Adam. And he put Adam in the Garden of Eden, this beautiful, perfect garden. There were so many trees in that garden. There was pear trees and apple trees and orange trees and all these beautiful trees. And the fruit was magnificent. There was so much to eat and so many choices. But God made how many rules? One. He made one rule. Look at it here in Genesis 2, verse 15. And the Lord God took the man and put him into the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden you can eat all you want. It's free. You can have all you want. But, and here comes the rule, of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou eatest thereof, here's the consequence of breaking the rule, thou shalt surely die. There was only one tree. Only one rule. Don't eat that tree. Don't eat that fruit. But Adam did. And Adam, when he disobeyed God, he became what's called a rule breaker, a sinner. And all his children, every one of us, we're all the descendants of Adam. Every one of us is born just like Adam. And you know what we want to do? We want to break the rules. Every time we want to do it. The problem is not that there's too many rules. The problem is we don't want any rules. Do you ever hear kids say today now, you're not the boss of me? We don't want a boss. We want to do what we want to do. We want our way as opposed to God's way. We're not able or even very interested in keeping the thousands of rules in the Bible or even just the 10 or the 2. We're just like Adam. Give us just one rule and I'll break it. So what are we going to do? In order to be saved from our sin, something has to be done about that. The price has got to be paid to come into God's presence. We must be made perfect, which means never to have broken even one rule. We must have kept every rule perfectly without exception. And yet we don't want to, much less we can't. We need God to do something for us that we can't do for ourselves. And do you know what? That's exactly what is called the good news of the gospel. That's what the truth is. When you hear Pastor Gabe say, I'm going to preach the gospel to you, you know what he's going to do? He's going to give you some good news. He's going to tell you the good news of the Bible. Turn now to Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10. A long time ago, God the Father chose some people to be his children. His children, you children know your parents love you. And God the Father loves Jesus Christ, his son, and the Father loves all he chose to be his children. You children know your parents love you and want you to be perfect, to keep all the rules. That's what they'd like you to do. Wouldn't it be nice if you could just keep all the rules? There wouldn't be any problem with it with mom and dad ever if you could just keep the rules. They'll love you even though you don't or you can't. Keep all the rules perfectly, it'll be all right. Why? Because they know and understand that they haven't kept God's rules. They haven't done it perfectly all the time either. But they realize you can't be allowed to do whatever you want, which is to break the rules. That'll end in a terrible punishment. What happened to Adam when he broke the rule? What happened? You know what God did? He said, Adam, get out of the garden. Get out. God told him, he said, the day you eat that, you'll surely die. And Adam, the minute he ate it, he died spiritually, and he would die in time physically. So God the Father sent God the Son. He sent Jesus Christ, his Son, to this earth as a child. Do we realize that the Lord Jesus Christ, y'all know little Henry downstairs, that little infant? Do we realize Jesus Christ once was just like that little infant? God made him a man child. And he grew up to be a child the size of some of you, and then he got to be the size of some of you, and then he got to be a grown man. He lived 33 and a half years. Do you know what he did in those 33 and a half years? He kept all the rules. You say, no way. I'm telling you, way. He did. He kept every one of them perfect. Not one time was there ever a don't do this. He didn't do it. Never once did he do it. If he wasn't supposed to. You know those thousands of rules? Not one time did he put on a woman's garment. Not one time did he ever put on linen with wool. Not one time. He never sowed a garden with two kinds of seed in the same place. He never did any of those things. Anytime in all those rules it says don't, he didn't. And every time in there it says do this, honor your mother and father. Do you know he did that perfectly? He never sassed his mom or dad one time. Not once did he ever break any of the rules. Whew. That's something, isn't it? He never broke one rule one time. He kept the 2 rules. He kept the 10 rules. He kept the thousands of rules perfectly. He never broke one. Now look here at Mark 10, verse 13. Brother William read this, and it says that they brought young children to the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to make clear in the book of Luke, this account is in Matthew and in Luke, but in the book of Luke, it says they brought infants. Say, which is it? Well, I think both. They brought little ones like Henry, and they brought little ones y'all's age, and they came to him one y'all's age. Okay? That's what it means in verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. They told him, wait, stop, get away, don't come near him. They rebuked him. They said, don't you do this. Don't bring that child up here. But in verse 14, when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, suffer the little children to come to me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. What he's saying there, such is the kingdom of God. We must come into the kingdom of God as little children, just as naive and just as innocent as they are. And look at verse 15. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. What did the disciples rebuke these parents? Why did they do this? Why did they rebuke them when they brought these infants and little children? These may have been poor people. And not very clean. There may have been an infant that had a dirty diaper. I don't know what they were thinking. But whatever it was, when these parents came, they said, nope, get back. The disciples may have thought they were too young to hear the Lord. They may have thought they were too unimportant. There may have been some important religious people there, some rich people. Who knows what it is? But here's the thing I want us to see. Whatever the reason, we read it displeased the Lord. Now listen here. It not only displeased the Son of God, it displeased him much. All you children know the difference between when your parents are displeased. Oh, don't do that. Don't do that. And when your parents are much displeased. Y'all know the difference in that? Do we see the Lord Jesus Christ was much displeased when they tried to prevent these children from coming to him? Does every child in here know the difference? You do, don't you? Between when your folks are upset and when they're really upset. And this is a serious word of warning to us all. God help us that we should ever get ourselves between Christ and one of his children in any way, that we forbid or hinder his children from coming to him. God help us to all encourage and aid one another in bringing little children, our children and others' children, into his arms. It said he touched them. Who are we to prevent the Lord Jesus Christ from touching the child, that he might put his hands on them and bless them? There's no greater calling, no higher purpose under heaven than to bring our children and to help and aid others to bring little children to the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, to where the gospel is taught and preached. Age is not relevant to God's children. I knew a man who was in his 70s, who had been religious all his life. Boy, was he a Calvinist. He knew the scriptures, and he knew things, and he was, for years he'd attended gospel churches. But in his 70s, I believe he finally heard the gospel. And you know what he became? He became the sweetest little old man you ever saw. He became like a child. He was happy all the time now, and he was such a pleasant person. What happened? God made him a little child, welcomed him as a little child. And that's how we must come. And it would have been easy for the pastor to have told this fella, you know, you're just too ornery. Don't come in here. I'd be doing what the disciples were doing, which was, get away. Get away. Age is not relevant. Notice our Lord's command. He said, suffer. Suffer? I'll tell you what. Any woman who's ever had a child knows something about suffering physically that no man's ever going to know anything about. But on the other hand, men who are fathers know a good bit about suffering too. Brother Henry used to say, if you have children, sooner or later they're going to break your heart. They just will. They just will. Somehow, some way, they're going to break some rule that displeases you, even displeases you much. They'll do it. But it is best we suffer a little now in dealing with them, that they suffer not eternally. I understand it's a suffering labor of love to get them up, to dress them, to feed them, to load them in the car, to get their Bibles, to teach them to listen, and on and on and on. It's some suffering. I'm sorry. It's just what parents should do. We're commanded to do. Because suffer here means this. It doesn't mean suffering in the sense of twisting your arm or something. What it means is to yield up. We, as parents, yield up our wants and make them subservient to the needs of the children. It means to send forth. Send them to hear the word. It means to let them go. It's a lot less effort and suffering to let them sleep in. I understand that. But we must suffer. Nobody likes going in and forcing the kids to get out of bed and force them to get ready and making rules about you got to do this and you got to do that and you got to do the others. Well, suffer through it. That's what this is saying. Yield them up. Would we rather they be ours and like us, or that they be his and someday like him? As parents, God help us to surrender our way to his way. Joshua says, for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. In all the years the Lord Jesus Christ lived, he never broke one rule. He kept the one rule, he kept the two rules, he kept the 10 rules, he kept the thousands of rules. He was perfect. On the other hand, you kids hear us talking about Calvary. That's a place, that's a mountain. And it's where the Lord Jesus Christ had to go to. And before he went, do you know what they did to him? I'm not going to ask you to raise your hands because I know the answer. Is there anybody in this room who's never had a spanking? I don't care what age you are. Do you remember some? I remember my dad had this double tongue belt. Man, could he lay it to you? And it was, we always deserved it. We got what we had coming. We begged for it. Because we broke the rules, we got that. You know what? The Lord Jesus Christ let those soldiers give him the worst spanking, the worst whipping any human being ever got. And I know some of you think you've had a bad whipping. Bad spanking. The Lord Jesus Christ took lashes and lashes and lashes, and then he went up Calvary, and do you know what? He let him nail his hands and his feet to a tree until he died. Why did he do that? Why did that have to happen? I already told you, he never broke one rule. So why did he have to have that happen to him? Why did he get a spanking? He didn't break any rules. You know why he did it? So his people, God's children, he took all of our spankings. Realize that? He took all the punishment we had coming for all the rules we ever broke. He didn't deserve it because he never broke a rule. But he took our place. He did for us what we couldn't do. He suffered so his children could be one day taken up into the arms of God. He put his hands on the tree so that when he arose and we arrive, he can take us up in his arms as little children and bless us with eternal life. Such is the kingdom of God. Turn to one more scripture. We're almost done. Turn to Matthew 3. I asked earlier if everyone here knew the difference between when your parents were displeased and when they were much displeased. Much displeased. Do we also know the difference between when your parents are pleased? When they're pleased with you. And they say, well, you did pretty good on that. I know you tried hard. Do we know the difference between that? And when they say, when they're much pleased, and they go, that was great. You did great. Wow, you hit a home run. That was great. We know the difference in that, don't we? Huh? Look here in Matthew 3, verse 13. Then cometh Jesus from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Y'all know one of the rules in the Bible is that God's people are baptized. They're baptized. So the Lord Jesus Christ knew in order to follow and fulfill all the rules, he had to be baptized. And he came to John to do that for him. But John forbade him, just like those disciples said, keep the little children away. I can understand why John was like, who am I to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ? John forbade him, saying, I have need to be baptized of thee, and thou comest thou to me? And look what Jesus answered, said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us. You see that? It becometh us. Us. If he was doing this just for him, he would have said, thus it becometh me. Why did he say us? You know why? He was doing it for all of us. All of his people he was doing this for. It becometh us, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. Then he suffered him. Do we see that? And it says then, and Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am pleased. Is that what it says there? Look at it again. Did he say, I'm pleased. You tried hard. You did the best you could. Is that what he said? No, look what he said. He said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Son, you did great. Do we understand what the Lord Jesus Christ did was great? Great. It couldn't be done any better. It was absolutely perfect in every way. He did everything that needed to be done for each and every one of us and for all of us. He put away our sin and he gave us a righteousness. If we're in him, we also will hear from the Father, I'm well pleased. Why? Because my Son, Jesus Christ, suffered it to be so. All right. Brother Dwight.